Adult Males Abuse, the Hardest Story to Tell. Today's story exposes the institutional and social machinery that renders adult male victims of clergy abuse invisible in Mexico and Latin America. The piece centers on Protasius, a survivor navigating the Catholic Church's internal legal system, case, Prot. 11-2025. This case serves as a roadmap to how the Church uses its own theology and local cultural prejudices to stall justice and protect its elite. The piece argues that the Vatican has spent decades building a narrative designed for damage control. A key feature is its hierarchy of pain, where only the abuse of underage boys or vulnerable women is recognized as a true violation. Adult males, females, and even young girls who are not immediately perceived as vulnerable are left in blind spots where their experiences are reframed as consented intercourse or moral lapses rather than predatory crimes. A key element of the local cultural prejudices in Mexico used by the Catholic Church and other social actors to legitimize violence against LGBT populations is the so-called albur, a Mexican tradition of sexualized double talk. The albur is more than just humor. It is a social mechanism to build hierarchies, to decide who is on top and who is on the bottom. In this framework, a man placed in a passive sexual position, real or symbolic, is immediately stripped of his masculinity and his credibility. The Church relies on this cultural reflex. If a survivor like Protasius comes forward, the social assumption is that he failed as a man, which allows the Church to dismiss him as an imperfect victim who simply sinned with a priest. The piece goes over the theological license the Church grants its priests through the doctrine of ontological change. This belief that a priest is fundamentally transformed at ordination creates a permanent power asymmetry. Predators use this status to self-exonerate, claiming they remain priests forever regardless of their crimes. Meanwhile, the Church's legal experts reduce systemic rape to a violation of the Sixth Commandment, the one dealing with chastity. This tactical shift turns a crime of power into a shared sin between two adults, effectively erasing the priest's responsibility. The author takes the reader inside the Metropolitan Tribunal at 90 Durango Street in Mexico City's Roma neighborhood. He describes the process as performative and underwhelming. The Church begins with an initial rush of summons to appear objective and proactive, but quickly pivots to an endless procedural labyrinth protected by pontifical secret, a mechanism weaponized against survivors of clergy sexual abuse by Joseph Ratzinger and later by Benedict XVI as Pope. In this system, victims such as Protasius become human cargo, a piece of evidence for internal bookkeeping, while the priest, Marcus Aurelius, remains the only asset the Church cares to protect through a process centered not on the effects of Marcus Aurelius' abuse of Protasius's severe depression, including the information he shared of his struggles with mental health. For the Monsignors at 90 Durango Street, the only issue on the docket is whether Marcus Aurelius complies with the Sixth Commandment. The article concludes by contrasting the stagnation in Mexico with updates from different countries dealing with cases of clergy sexual abuse. While the Catholic Church in Mexico plays mind games in its own tribunals, secular courts in Albany, New York, and France have been able to deliver actual justice. Through changes in how laws are interpreted and on the very definition of justice, courts in the United States and France are forcing the Church to pay millions in compensation, bypassing the ontological change shield. In Portugal, a settlement with a small group of victims could open the door to other developments, while all over Latin America questions remain as to what the civil governments will do.